I don't consider myself an infinite banker. I don't think I ever would. If you're watching videos to figure out what to invest in, you're not ready. You have to understand you are your biggest asset. How can you become more valuable? If you turn 10 grand into 20 grand, who cares? Take your income from 50 to 100,000 a year. Now we can start talking about building wealth. If I don't have 5 figures in the bank, I would say don't start an insurance contract. You don't need that. None of that matters. That is 100% gambling, and I'm not a gambler. Like, so if you want to go to Vegas, put it all on black, good luck.
Why do you say that? When you say it cheapens the value, this is going to solve my problems, and then it doesn't. Now it's the agent's fault. Now it's the insurance company's fault. And it's like, no. Someone is watching this video. What are the things that they can practically do today to start figuring out how to maximize their value? And so you've been saying over and over and over, invest in yourself. You are your greatest asset. Why are you a fan of whole life insurance?
I am very frugal. I'm very conservative. I'm so cheap. When I die, I don't even want to give my kids any my money. I'm going to let the insurance company give them their money. Oh my Lord, I would never do that with all my retirement savings. I'm going to let my success and my family and my happiness and my income and my lifestyle be subjected to somebody else's opinions of what they think is going to do well on Wall Street? What? Why would I ever? No, my money goes into life insurance and I go out and meet really cool people, and then when I want to invest, I invest with that. And guess what? I don't give a what the stock market does. What? Go away. I would tell that person to go away.
Hey guys, it's Caleb Williams with
it is interesting to me. First off, that is a function of your passions.
Let's talk about the TikTok space, especially those people that are talking a lot about life insurance as an investment. A lot of people talking about IULs, infinite banking, all these things. I'm sure a lot of times you're very much like me. You kind of cringe when people, but I know that you're a big fan of life insurance, as I am as well.
Yeah.
So give me your 2 cents right now. Is the whole craze of like life insurance is going to freaking save your marriage and the whole nine yards if you just put your, if you invest your money into this IUL policy? What's your thoughts on that? What do you like about life insurance, and what would you be wary of?
Well, first of all, let's talk about social media and the benefits and the concerns, I think, that it also brings up. You know, certainly don't believe in government censorship of what's being said online, but we need to be aware of like what's actually being said versus reality. And you look at infinite banking, cool concept. I love it. I love a lot of the guys that do infinite banking for their clients. I think it's really cool stuff. I also think it's completely misused. And people are using it as like this catchphrase, and it's like get rich quick, and it ain't that. It, you know, I think it cheapens the value of what life insurance can actually do for a fam. Yes, it's cool. Yes, I practice that. I don't consider myself an infinite banker. I don't think I ever would do the same similar stuff, but I think it cheapens the value.
Why do you say that? When you say it cheapens the value, what about
the word? Because it's a way to get clicks, and it's a way to sell a policy. You know, and you and I have talked about this years ago, you know, what's the smallest policy that you would advocate someone getting? And we have a minimum. A lot of those guys don't have minimums. They would take any size case, which in my mind is a lapse. If the client can't keep up with those premiums, that's a lapse in the future. And the client's out a lot of money. It could be out a lot of money. So it's not always a great thing. And so just to sell more and more policies, and I think people could talk about infinite banking, be your own bank, all these things that are really attractive, and I think they're valuable. It cheapens it because it's like, you got $300, go start an infinite banking policy. And that ain't, you want to have money in just a boring bank first. Prove to yourself that you can save money.
You're saying it's cheapening because people are making it sound like you can fog a mirror, this thing is going to solve 100%. Your problems.
Yes.
Where really at the end of the day, it's just a way of looking at life insurance as a place to store and use capital.
Yeah.
But it's not like we would say a savings account is going to change your life. If you have a savings account with millions of dollars, though, that's going to be different than the person that has a savings account of $100. And it's almost like us saying the savings account's the solution. Well, it's like, well, no, it's the, there's more details that need to be had. So you're not anti using whole life insurance to store and use money.
Absolutely not.
You're against these marketing phrases that are being thrown out to almost cheapens the brand and almost makes it feel like if this is so, like, I guess cheapens the brand is where I'll end it. Like, do you feel like it just cheapens the brand?
It completely cheapens everything that life insurance can actually do, because it's a way to sell a policy, and there's very little talk about the death benefit and the legacy. Once you start having kids, all that stuff starts mattering. Yeah. But when they talk about it, like just being the bank and just for the rate of return, like a lot of the IULs, on, you know, you can get this rate of return versus that, and this is tax-free. And cool. Those are all benefits, but that's not why. It's not why I'm doing it. If I don't have money in the bank, I'm not going to start an insurance contract. If I don't have 5 figures in the bank, I would say don't start an insurance contract. You don't need that. That ain't going to bring you, dude, you turn 10 grand into 20 grand. Who cares? Take your income from 50 to 100,000 a year. Now we can start talking about building wealth. And it's the problems that people don't want to fix, but they can get home from their job that they hate, go online and say, I could put money into IUL and I'm going to make money. Now I'm my own bank. And you still have no money in there 3 years later because you're still making 50 grand a year.
It's interesting because you talked about 401ks being like the you know, the excuse, the scapegoat.
Yeah, yeah.
I think people will use the same thing with infinite banking and IULs. People
Bro,
are like,
I saw a video today.
Oh, I'm going to do this. This is going to solve my problems. And then it doesn't. Now it's the agent's fault. Now it's the insurance company's fault. Now it's life insurance ruined my life. And it's like, no, no, no. And that's why I'm against life insurance being the it. Mm. Because it's like whenever we're like, life insurance is the solution. No, you're the solution.
100%.
Life insurance should be a tool.
Yes.
Just like any other financial product.
Yeah.
But the time that we elevate products over value creation and naturally reverse engineer like what creates value to begin with, that's the issue for me. And I think it happens across the board, but I'm seeing it at scale right now in the insurance space.
Yeah.
Where people want to like pitch it as a solution, and I have a problem with that.
They'll probably make a little bit of money, you know, that agent might make more than they made 3 years ago, and then they're gonna sell a course on how to double your income. So, you know, beware of all that stuff. So something else that you also just mentioned was people say, well, what do I do? What's the next step? What can I invest in? If you're watching videos to figure out what to invest in, you're not ready. There is no magic solution. There's no magic investment that's going to take you to where you want to go. You have to understand you are your biggest asset. How can you become more valuable? Spend time on looking at how things work. And if you're asking what investment can you go do tomorrow to go make a ton of money, dude, that's a recipe for disaster. Because watch, you're going to buy Bitcoin when it's worth 13 and you can sell at 30. Then you're going to hate yourself when it's worth 60. And then you're going to be so happy when it's worth 10 again. None of that matters. That is 100% gambling. And I'm not a gambler. Like, so if you want to go to Vegas, put it all on black, good luck. Power to you. I'd love to go with you. If you win, if you lose, sulk somewhere else. But that's not a sustainable strategy. And I don't know if it's because of kids or what. I never used to talk like long term, but your perspective changes. Like, I don't want to just turn 100,000 into 200,000. I want to make 200,000 every single year. And my biggest needle mover is investing in myself so that I can consistently bring in new dollars. And then when I'm ready, the opportunity shows itself. I follow the four principles. I'll have access to capital and I can deploy that the way that I want to deploy it.
Okay, so we're going to reverse engineer how value creation is created, according to Matt. You and I are both speaking the same language.
Yeah.
I think it's tough and it's frustrating to the person that is watching your videos because they want to learn. And they're like, okay, you guys are two buttholes here yeah. talking like, don't watch our videos. But by the way, please subscribe, review. I love it.
Yeah.
But I think you do make a point. If you're just searching the internet to try to make a quick buck, you're missing the point. And so you've been saying over and over and over, invest in yourself. You are your greatest asset. How do you do that? And if someone is watching this videos, what are the things that they can practically do today to start figuring out how to maximize their value?
Yeah. Well, I mean, how do you answer a question like that? Because someone could be starting from so many different places. Are we talking to a 24-year-old? Well,
let's talk about the questions you would ask, because questions are universal.
Give me an example.
Okay. I'll go first. How's that?
Caleb, why don't you go first with this?
Okay. So the first question that I would ask is, what do you want? Like, I would get
a 24-year-old doesn't know that.
But again,
I want $1 million.
Yeah, but why? But ask a couple questions. Why? What do you want and why? And this question should be asked every year. You and I should be.
Yeah.
What you want at 40 might be different than what you want now. So that's number one, is getting really clear on that. And then it's just really doing an audit. This is the way I would answer it. It would audit, look at your time,
yeah.
look at your resources, look at your relationships, and look at your current skill sets. And know that those four inputs usually will equal what your output is, what your result is. So if you don't like the income you're making, it has something to probably do with your time, the people you're hanging out with, your skill sets, and your resources. And so then you have to reverse engineer, what are the things that I need to change to get different results?
Yeah.
That's a very practical way to do it. So you might be around people that are dragging you down. You should cut those people out of your life. You may have a skill set that's paying $20 an hour, and what you could work with all your time, or you could invest that time, maybe make less in that time period, but figure out a way to make $60 an hour.
Yeah.
That compounded over the next 30 years, far greater than any like 401k match. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
You can't calculate it too, because there's an internal fulfillment that you'll
That's
get.
Right. So it's getting clear of like, okay, what do you want? You should be asking that every year, and then auditing those what does your time look like? What is your resources?
You're an entrepreneur. Do you ask that every year or every other day?
I ask that all the time.
I ask it every other hour.
I'm always auditing, and that's why, in full transparency, there's days that I get frustrated. There's days that I get down, and you might look at it and be like, Caleb, like, you're crushing it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, internally, I'm not happy with
These
how
are
I'm-
demons that we create for ourselves, and they're enviable yeah. demons.
But I also think it's a huge blessing, because we're constantly looking, is there a better way?
Yes.
Is there a better way? I know, because of our conversations, you're always looking for better ways, not because it's like you're insecure about what you're doing, but if there's a better way, you want to do that. Going back to money, people are watching this video, people are watching our channels, people are watching our content, and they're doing it because they want to figure out those nuggets.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a bad thing, by the way.
No.
But I think it's a bad thing if you listen to my words or Matt's words and you're dedicating your entire life off of statements that we make, and you're not putting yourself first.
Yeah, and what's amazing is, because I have a hard time comprehending and who would actually do that, but then you look at the comments section of social media, and it's like people are actually listening and saying, oh, this doesn't fit my specific parameter, I'm going to get angry. Oh, hey, man, then maybe it wasn't meant for you. Right?
Yeah.
But to your point, the curiosity should never end, ever. I don't care how old you are. Curiosity and creativity should never end. That's the spark of life. Be curious of things you don't know and be creative of the things that you do. And until you have a surplus of capital, you probably don't need a financial advisor. You probably don't need an estate plan. Until you have a surplus of income, you probably don't need to put money into an account that you can't touch for 30 more years. You know, you are really good at coming up with frameworks like the way you described, you know, time, resources, things like that. So I would say that everything you said, I would agree with. Putting that into a framework or like a hierarchy of the decision making, but if you have the thing that you will go away, the only finite thing is time. Of all of those things that you listed was time. Use your time today by learning from the people that you like, and there's tricks along the way. Because if you're asking the question, "How do I make a million by the time I'm 30?" you're asking the wrong question. It's not the right step. I told this young guy today. You don't teach if a sixth grader says, "How do I make this varsity soccer team?" You're going to go, you're not there yet. You're not even on the field. You're not even in high school. You probably will get there. Because you asked the question, I believe you have a better chance than everybody else who didn't ask the question.
Yep.
So directionally, I think you're doing the right thing, but dude, you're not, hold on, just go to practice and hang out with the eighth grade team, you know, go get ball, be the ball boy for the JV team next year. Like, put yourself in the right situation. So what do you do with money today? It's not put it in crypto and do this. I mean, if you have extra money you don't care about, cool, do that. That's fine. But I would invest in education. If you have to pay to get in rooms that you look up to, do that. That will give you that's what college was 30 years ago.
So the question that you would ask is, what room do you need to be in? Is that, because I'm trying to figure out what that question would be. Like, if you had to give yourself advice at 20, would you say, like, Matt, always question the room that you're in?
Yeah, always. Always question the room that you're in. My downside, when I look back when I was 25, I didn't know the right question to ask at all. So me talking to someone like that, you're exactly right. What room do you need to be in? And describe your life in 3 years.
That's good. Can you walk us through that exercise? Describe your life in 3 years?
Yeah, this is a Dan Sullivan idea. Have you heard of
yep.
that? Yeah. Thanks for building it up, Caleb. This is a Matt Love idea, cashflowarchitects.com. If you had a chance, if you and I sat down together, but seriously, if you sit down and you draw out your life in 3 years, what does it look like? What does your daily routine look like? What do your relationships look like? What's your career look like? And then on that same note, if we're 3 years down the road, let's say you look back over the past 3 years, what happened that you would look back and go, that is something I'm really glad that I did.
Yep.
And it's like a vision board, dude. I'm sure you have a vision
board. We do something, you know, you've heard of people doing like your perfect day. We do, it's like your intentional day, your intentional week, your intentional month. It's the same concept of like your concept of, but it's an anchor of like, okay, what is, if I had to dream up an intentional day that's just like, I'm just in my element. What are those things consisting of?
Yeah.
And a lot of times you don't have to be a billionaire to live an intentional day.
You don't have to. This idea of billionaire or dollar amount, it just blows my mind. Exactly. People are obsessed with
but
it.
But people use that as a scapegoat. People totally. Say, if I'm a billionaire, Matt, I'll be. So they don't take responsibility and say, hey, you could be a thousandaire and live way more intentionally than people that are worth $100 million.
Yeah.
I know people that are very, very wealthy that have a worse diet than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly it's because my wife and I value like healthy food. And so it's like, and we're not a billionaire. We're not worth $100 million, but we make intentional choices to eat well. And I'm always blown away by people that are worth way more than us. And they just, they're not intentional in those areas. I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm just saying like, what you eat, like that's a huge area. I mean, I just had this epiphany the other day. It's like billionaires do live different lives, but we live in a time where it's like.
But hold on a second. It's like chicken or the egg. What, you think they became a billionaire and then they started living the different life?
Right.
Or do you think it's the decisions that they made?
All I'm saying is, what is that number? It's way less, especially
it's so
if
much
you,
less, bro.
Especially if you really reverse engineer what you want.
It could be 70 grand a year, and you'd be like, I'm a billionaire.
If you have that great, if you have that mindset,
if that fits your intentionality,
that's right.
If that's what you wanted, your life, if that fulfills what you wanted, you would be completely happy. And then if you're not doing everything to make that happen, you're violating your own principles. Then you'll never be happy.
Yep.
You know.
Why are you a fan of whole life insurance?
For consumers, I never have to apologize for an account going backwards. And I don't know how a lot of financial advisors do that. They get paid off of managing money inside the market that can go up and down, and they get paid regardless. I never accepted that. On a personal level, there's nothing I can do that would make me more happy than to know that my family's guaranteed to take care of. The government's going to get none of their inheritance. I am very frugal. I'm very conservative. I'm so cheap. When I die, I don't even want to give my kids my money. I'm going to let the insurance company give them their money. After that's in place, I leverage that cash over and over again for what I want to do. My wife can't complain if I want to go buy a sports car because I'm literally just taking it off of a future inheritance that she's going to get regardless. Does that make sense? If I have $10 million of death benefit and I go buy a $500,000 car, I die the next day, my wife gets the car and $9.5 million income tax-free. I don't have to apologize for that. So it allows me permission, gives me permission to invest in what I want to invest in. And I have guarantees that Wall Street can't take it away. The IRS can't take it away. I have nobody else to blame in life for my financial failure than myself. And there's great pride and comfort that comes in that. It allows me to sleep well at night knowing that my kids, my family are taken care of. Now it's up to me to go make it happen. Why would I? There's nothing. I would hate to be in a position to tell people, hey, go invest in this fund. I promise it's going to work. Fingers crossed. You know, you're going to get a 30% rate of return and then have it not work out. I can't imagine making money like that. I can't imagine a career based on hoping that people take risks with their money and hoping that it actually works out for them. And I get paid regardless. It's horrible. So as a career, that's easy. With my own money, it makes perfect sense. Why, what else could I do? The S&P? What? I can't even spell the S&P 500. Like I don't have any connection with that. How many people, I had a 401k. I don't even know what I was invested in. My first experience with the stock market was, my dad's a financial advisor, was years ago. I gave him $1,000. I said, Dad, let's go invest. 6 months later, he gave me back $700. I go, what is this? And he goes, you had bad timing. I go, I didn't have bad timing. I had $1,000 when I had $1,000. And this is like what we're talking about. People say, well, what do I invest in? If you're asking the question, it's wrong. It's just the wrong time. You know, the opportunity is going to come when you have the money and you understand the principles of the game. That's all. And whole life bought me time because I was an idiot when I was younger. It bought me time to understand everything that I want, that I care about is taken care of. And as I get better with surrounding myself with interesting and successful people, now I have some capital to go play with. And I'm going to go do that.
What is your response when people say life insurance is a terrible investment?
It's not an investment. There's no such thing as a bad investment. There's bad investors. So are you telling me that it's bad to put millions of dollars behind my ability to go create for my family? Is that what you're saying? Or are you saying that the rate of return internally of a life insurance contract is not as good as what the S&P could do in 1 year? Because sure, the S&P is going to beat it, I hope. Then I'm not doing it for that rate of return.
Yeah.
I literally know that it's like, it's offensive to me because you kind of hit a chord there. Life insurance isn't a good rate of return. I'm telling you that I'm putting money into life insurance because I'm the rate of return. Remember Jay-Z? I'm not a businessman. I'm a business man. I'm the rate of return. And if I think that somebody else, like the stock market or some crazy advisor that's got a $4,000 suit on that looks so good in the fancy car that's going to charge a fee without caring about the performance, that guy's going to get me or that girl's going to get me success. That's a passive way to look at life. Don't connect with it. Oh my Lord, I would never do that with all my retirement savings.
Yep.
So I'm going to let my success of my family and my happiness and my income and my lifestyle be subjected to somebody else's opinions on what they think is going to do well on Wall Street. What? Why would I ever? No, my money goes into life insurance and I go out and meet really cool people. And then when I want to invest, I invest with that. And guess what? I don't give a what the stock market does. I have a client that gave me their statements for some retirement accounts they wanted me to look at. I don't even do this stuff. It said the rate of return was 14% for the last 2 years. No, it wasn't. The statement had a graph. The graph went down and then it went back up. So the rate of return was only one that was going up for the last year. They had the same amount of money they had 2 years ago. Where's the happiness in that? I know that my money bought my family success.
Yep.
And that I can go use it over and over and I don't have to worry about a statement. Good rate of return. Go away. I would tell that person to go away. Where are your priorities? What's your priority? You want to go Bitcoin, man, to the moon, bro. Good for you. That's awesome. I have Bitcoin. I have Ethereum. Come on, Ethereum. Keep going, buddy, please. But that's not the goal. That's not the end all be all.
Yeah. I don't know. I think just repeating what you're saying in different way is life insurance. You're able to put dollars into life insurance and that moment you know that your family's going to be protected.
Done.
You don't need to spend the next 30 years working, grinding, growing. So you protect your family, but it also creates liquidity.
Yep.
And what it's very clear from this interview, the takeaway is you're a fan of investing in Matt mm-hmm. and Matt's potential.
And the fam and the girls.
And
right?
But things that you understand. Yeah. And you would even make less money investing in things you understand versus having your money in things you don't. But the reality is you're making a lot more money because yeah. and you're way more fulfilled. Yeah. You're able to spend more time with your family. And your life insurance policy is, you could make the argument, is creating a greater cash flow result than if you just worked and then put that money away. Because you would invest
watch it.
You would invest your money, but that there are some investments that have directly impacted your business, which has given you more. And that's what's really tough to measure. But usually,
when you realize the measurement, whoever's doing the measuring is going to play with numbers. I'm pretty stupid, okay? If you look at the market, people go, the S&P's averaged 10% for the last 30 years. Okay, until it doesn't. Like, if you've done the math, if you're not in the market for like 4 days of the last 30 years, it could completely change those ratings. And then in hindsight, everybody's always a genius.
Yeah.
So all of it's junk. They do point to point, and they'll make it work to fit their narrative. And someone's trying to sell you on something that they're going to get paid off of. I sell security. People put money in life insurance because they care about their family and they want to leverage that cash over and over again before they die on stuff that they can control and what they like.
Yeah.
Like my cottage, 401 cottage.
Yep. Matt, thank you. Thank you for coming in the studio. You got all fired up. I appreciate that about you. I appreciate your conviction. We agree on a lot of things. I think you say things a little differently, which I appreciate. Yeah, I mean, I appreciate your perspective, and I think we're just trying to get people to think differently.
Thank you so much for listening to the Better Wealth Podcast. It would mean the world to me if you could hit subscribe, leave a review, and share this with the people that you know and love.